Who should we make that out to?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The government's idea of jump-starting the economy seems to be focused on putting money in people's pockets. President Bush will speak today about his ideas. One of them is a taxpayer rebate of up to $800 a person. Yesterday, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke told Congress he likes the idea of getting money in people's hands so they'll spend it quickly. Democrats in Congress would also like to temporarily increase unemployment benefits. Wall Street needs a spark in a big way. The Dow is in danger of sinking below 12,000 today. It starts out at 12,159. The Dow has lost 1,000 points in 2 weeks. The NASDAQ starts at 2346 after losing 47 yesterday. The S&P 500 fell 40 points, almost 3% to 1333. Today in Asia, stocks bounce back a bit with 0.5% gains. In Europe right now, stocks are up about 1%. Fidel Castro hasn't been seen in public in about 18 months. His brother Raul has been running the country. And Raul did something no one expected. He started a conversation about what ails the Cuban economy. This Sunday, Cuba holds parliamentary elections. We wanted to see if anything has changed since Raul took over. Dan Gretsch reports from our America's desk at WLRN.
Regardless of ideology, economists agree Fidel Castro has left Cuba's economy in tatters. When you adjust for inflation, per capita income in Cuba in 1953 was $2,000. Today, it's under $200. Economist Antonio Jorges with Florida International University.
Fidel Castro is a political animal. He doesn't care about economics.
Jorge says Fidel's brother Raul is different. Since taking over, Raul has initiated reforms in agriculture and transportation. Brian Littell at the University of Miami says Raul would like to see the economy open even more.
Raul is constrained because he and Fidel, in my view, are in sharp disagreement about what needs to be happening in Cuba.
Littell says Raul has made the political calculation that he must reform the economy.
Raul recognizes, I believe, that he's got to make the system work better because he can't rule with the same legitimacy that his brother has for all these decades.
Other Cuba analysts disagree that Fidel and Raul are split over economic policy. Kirby Jones runs the U.S.-Cuba Trade Association. He says since 1995, Fidel helped launch 235 joint ventures and opened the island to investment from around the world. Now Raul has begun a national dialogue on Cuba's economic ills.
What developed under Raul was essentially a national suggestion box. Every person had the chance to make their complaints known.
But experts say this suggestion box may have opened a Pandora's box. Raul has raised people's expectations dangerously high, and he may not be able to deliver the major reforms economists say the island needs. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with more than 70 national patient organizations to educate and support patients and their families. Online at Medtronic.com. By Reuters, the world's news and information source, working to make a difference every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers.
All week, the car industry has been admiring itself in Detroit. But tomorrow, the International Auto Show opens to the public. This year's theme has to be green. Hybrids, plug-ins, recycled cars, you name it. Plus, the one car that's not at the show, the $2,500 Tata Nano, is getting tons of hype, too. Let's bring in David Welch. He covers the auto industry for Business Week magazine. David, let's start with the fuel efficiency. Is this all about the coming government standards or about car companies changing their business model?
It's both. And here's why. You know, with gasoline selling $3 a gallon and above, all the companies realize that, you know, cafe increase or no cafe increase, the market is changing. You're going going to lose buyers if you're the one who is late to the party. And then, of course, long term, they have to downsize. V8s will become V6s. Six cylinders will become four cylinders because they simply have to meet the regulations for the law.
Now, if we're talking about downsizing, we have to talk about the Tata Nano. What do you think of this thing?
There are a lot of really interesting things about this car. One is the $2,500 car can't be sold in Western markets. It simply will not meet U.S. or Western European safety and emissions regulations. But could a company like Tata, which has very cheap engineering and labor costs, you know, could they make a $5,000 or $6,000 car and sell it in the States? Sure. The other question is, will Americans want a car like that? Even a $5,000 or $6,000 Tata that meets U.S. regulations. You're talking about something that is very, very basic transportation. The Nano has, I think, a speedometer, a fuel gauge, and a check oil light, and that's about it. You know, we're a technology society now. We love our gadgets.
So we're probably not going to see people driving a Nano while listening to their Nano anytime soon.
that's a good way to put it.
The auto show will open to the public tomorrow. If somebody's going to go, what do you think they should try to see?
You know, it's not a show that has kind of a lot of big dream cars, but if that's the sort of thing you're into, you know, I would check out the Lexus LFA Roadster. It's a concept car, but it's sort of Lexus's answer to a Ferrari. It is a really gorgeous car. I would look at GM. They've got a Cadillac CTS Coupe. It's a two-door that is simply stunning. And one of my favorite picks of the show is the BMW 1 Series convertible. The car not only looks great, to me is sort of where part of the luxury market is going.
Mm-hmm.
Even Americans now are going to have to decouple the words luxury and large.
All right, David Welch of Business Week magazine, thanks for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having me on the show.
And now the show is over. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great weekend.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.